Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, we're in the New Testament, in the book of John. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Most assuredly, Jesus said, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. So the first thing, he's mirroring, revealing this relationship. God's always at work. Jesus is always at work. Moving, doing, serving. He displays a total reliance, completely depends on the Father at any time. The next one we see, verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works that you may marvel. Jesus not only was reliant, but he is totally comfortable, completely comfortable in his relationship with the Father. He is not insecure at all. He knows the Father loves him. He knows the Father loves him. And you think, well, those are just great. Well, great, Pastor Jim, neat. So what's the point? There hinges, right there on that one thought, hinges everything. Because when you know that you are loved, when you know that love will go to any length to care for you, to meet your need, to do whatever, when you know that, your life is so much more relaxed and at peace. Because trust is what we're really talking about. See, it's knowing that Dad knows what's going on and that Dad's allowed this for whatever Dad's purpose is. And even though I'm not sure exactly what this means, I know that Dad loves me and that Dad's got a perfect plan and that it's okay. Why, when we were driving, did we avoid this certain area? Well, because my dad had remembered reading in the paper early that morning at the hotel when he had gotten up about the Hell's Angels that were traveling through that particular part of Palm Springs. I thought it seemed like we were kind of going out of our way. I was young enough not to know much and old enough to understand that some of the routing that we would take in driving and realizing, wow, why are we going this different route? Dad didn't want to say anything because he didn't want to freak anybody out. My mom or my sister, or certainly myself, my older brother, he didn't want to freak anybody. He just kind of read about that and said, ooh, we're going to avoid that part of town. We're going to go a different route. Sometimes God takes you, sometimes God takes me on a different route. Why, God, why is this happening? Why, don't you love me? Oh, there we got to the point. Don't you love me? Don't you know what's going on? Don't you? Oh, no, he loves you. The Father loves you, and he knows exactly what's going on in your life, and he's got a plan. Just know that he loves you. You know, this security that we have in our relationship with the Lord is a powerful thing because it provides trust and we can relax. Verse 21, this is a longer thought, so just let's read through this together and we get to the next one. So we can be comfortable in our relationship with the Father because he loves us. We can let the trust develop. This next one we pick up, verse 21, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and he shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And so, this unity that Jesus displays, the Father and the Son, and the power that's there, and the unity of what they're doing, they're able to do, they're united and connected in everything they're doing. The two are one. Basically, Jesus is merely telling this group who've challenged him, what gives you the right to do this on the Sabbath? Who do you think you are healing this poor guy that's been sick for 38 years? That's just not right. It's a Sabbath. Don't you know? Can you imagine? Yeah, I'm telling you, when you've been touched by the living God, you really don't much care what any religious person thinks about anything. I don't care. When you've been touched by God, it doesn't matter. This is the significance. Jesus says, I'm intricately woven and connected in unity with the Father, and he has entrusted these things to me, and we walk in constant fellowship even in all of these decisions, and power has been entrusted to me. He is in complete unity. I can, of myself, do nothing, in verse 30. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. This is another key thought. He is in subjection. Jesus is yielded, yields himself to the Father's will. I dare say, brothers and sisters, that this is probably one of our larger struggle points. See, I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at my own life, and I'm just saying, wow, So am I intricately connected like that? I mean, in my judgments, in my thoughts, as we just read, in my trust, knowing that eternity, you know, I want to be. It's my aspiration, but I see the failure here and there, and I want to yield that back up to the Lord. But then you get to this one. It gets real interesting, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he certainly proved that out, don't you believe? Father, if there's any other way that all of this goofy humanity stuff can get straightened out, then let this cup pass from me, and in direct reference to the cross itself. But then he says, but Father, not my will, but your will be done. Complete submission to the Father. Do you see yourself in that light? Do you see yourself in a complete yielded state? Father, I want your will to be done in my life this day. Not my will, but I want your will. Whoops, now the trust thing sets in all over again, doesn't it? But you've got to know that when you say that, that your Father loves you and you can trust him. See how it starts to work together. All of these thoughts that Jesus shares out as kind of his case for himself in a sense, as he's sharing with the religious people who are confronting him about really what to some of us seems like kind of a minor issue, but to them it was a big deal. Because there's a lot of people starting to be drawn to the attention of who Jesus is as he's touching and healing and ministering and meeting needs. I dare say most of the trouble that comes in my life when I get into a mess, it's because of the fifth thing that we're seeing here in verse 30. It's because I'm seeking my own will and I'm not doing the Father's will. That's usually when the trouble comes for me. But man, when I yield. And what is the Father's will in a greater scope? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all would come into fellowship with him. I can hear in the back of my mind the debates and the arguing through the centuries. Well, you know, I don't know. And people arguing about this whole concept of who can be saved and who can't be saved and how can they be, all the different things. I'm on the who cares. I just want to share Jesus Christ and let God do the work in someone's life. Let God talk to them. Let them respond to God. Let God be God. Why waste our time on trivial things? Let's get to work. We got plenty to do. We can reflect and reveal and mirror who our Father is. We can know His love. We can walk in His ways. We can continue to develop unity with the Father that we might reflect even more of who He is. And certainly the challenge is there for us as believers. In who do you yield to in will? Oftentimes, isn't it your own will that you yield to? Really, if you're honest with yourself, I find that to be easily happens to me anyway. I just yield to my own will, not really factor God into it. And therein lies a struggle. It starts to create a problem. This next one, let's go on. It's another little portion, verses 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he bears of me is true. You have sent John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. Speaking of John. But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, and the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, who sent me, has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. Can you imagine Jesus saying this to a group of Jewish rabbis? Religious leaders, can you imagine? You have not heard the Father's voice, nor have you seen him. You don't even know what you're talking about. You talk about getting, I'm not exactly sure what happens when your hackles get up, but I'm thinking it's not a good thing, and that's probably about what this would look like. They're pretty upset about this. Isn't this just the stuff that starts to grate on us? When we talking about the will, my will, God's will, that's the stuff that's just making us twitch, Well, these guys are getting real worked up now when it starts getting into this. No, you don't even know, you have never seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You do not have his word abiding in you because of whom he sent, him you do not believe. This very word that Jesus is the living word, and the very word being spoken to them, they don't even see. It's Jesus. It's God standing right in front of them. They just can't see it because they've perverted all of it into religiosity, and they've just lost the content of the message and who they were to be even looking for. This aspect of this is that God himself, Jesus is saying, my Father basically is the one that validates or endorses who I am. That's really the only witness that we need. He says, if I just testify of myself, it's one thing. If what about this other man? Do I need man to testify? No. He says, really, the Father himself, through the Word, all of the way through the Old Testament, was pointing to the person of Jesus Christ. All of those things were pointing to the person of Jesus Christ. And yet they missed it. He says in verse 39, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Wow. I do not receive honor from men, but I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. And this is basically a prophetic word regarding Antichrist. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God. It says, we can give each other accolades and we can all high-five each other and we can all agree to agree and to agree and to agree and whatever, but it means nothing to God. That's not the point of things, really. Jesus is merely saying here, clearly saying that, man, I'm here and God is the one that I want to honor. I want to draw attention to my Father. I am the express image. He is that exacting image of the Father. He's wanting to reveal who the Father is and the Father's love. What was all of the nation Israel pulled out of all of the peoples and nations of the world? Why did God select them? He wanted to just reveal himself and his goodness and his blessing and his love to all the other nations, to provoke them, that they might see who he is. So if your vision, if you're viewing God and you see God, no, God's up there with the mallet, he's ready to just snap it and crack me in the noggin because I can't fly right. You've completely misunderstood who the Father is. And that's what Jesus is wanting to continue to reveal to you and to me, that the Father loves you and that the Father's got a great plan for you and for me and that he wants to work those things out, that God is the one that's going to endorse who he is in your life. You don't need men to endorse who he is in your life. You just need the living God to endorse who he is in your life. You can have a bunch of paper hanging up on a wall, all framed beautifully. Do you think God is impressed with any of that? I would rather have one drop of anointed oil from the Father above, one drop, that I might serve him faithfully, than all of the accolades of men and all of their endorsement. It doesn't matter. He says, again, what does he break it down? Simple. He's got one guy to please, Dad. It's simple. And think about this. If you, husband, wife, if you seek to please the Father, if you have a right vertical relationship with God, you are going to have a right horizontal relationship. You're going to have right relationship with other people. Husbands and wives, if you could do this, you would see great victory in your marriages. Being right with God and having right perspective and relationship with God, ongoing relationship with the Father, creates then right relationship with other people because we are then understanding about love and we're able to interact on love on a more clear level basis. God wants to do these things in all of our lives. If we seek to honor, you know, trying to get honor and accolades from all these other sources, he says, nah, that's emptiness. There's no fulfillment in that. There's no blessing in that. The last one, verse 45. Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For you believed Moses. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? He's challenging them right there to look at the scriptures that they've been entrusted with and to see that all of this was testifying of who he is and that it's so easily missed. Jesus says, I'm not going to necessarily accuse go and accuse you to the Father. Yeah, I have that kind of relationship with the Father. I'm not going and just going to accuse. Who's the accuser of the brethren? Interesting. Satan's the one that's always busy about that. Jesus says, no, that's not what I'm here to do. He says, the word of God really itself just kind of condemns you. And the religious concepts. The word itself does the work. I think the Jesus kind of saying that he's just going to kind of be quiet to the Father regarding that. And I think of the intercessory work that he's done on the cross for us. And our need to just intercede for others through prayer. You know, we don't need to have useless discussions about how messed up somebody is or whatever. It's what's okay. Let's just pray for them. Use your time wisely. Let's let God help us to use our time wisely. Bring it to the Father. Now, what an interesting thing that Jesus does in really giving a clear defense to those that would accuse him. And he just says, hey, listen, I'm in fellowship with my Father. And I just want to honor my dad. I'm focused on that. I have one person to please. And I know in so doing, he's going to do all kinds of other great things through that. Think of what would happen if we took some of these, this handful of thoughts that Jesus shared and incorporated them into our lives. Said, you know, I'm going to pray that I would do the Father's will. Father, what is your will? You say, well, God doesn't speak to me that clearly. Well, I don't know. James was pretty clear about this. If you've got questions and you need help, you need wisdom, he says, ask the Father, and he will give to all liberally, without reproach, that he'll pour out wisdom in your life. But don't ask doubting. Basically, that whole portion in James, in that first chapter, deals with our receiving the counsel that God gives. The battle's in our minds, brothers and sisters. The battle's in our minds. And we have to agree to yield to God. That's what it boils down to. And not stick our heels in and get all hunkered down and say, no, you know, I know what's right and I know what I, you know. Whoa. Just let God reveal himself. He'll give you wisdom in matters, in circumstances. He'll give you the guidance you need. The thing is are you going to receive it? Because sometimes it doesn't seem like it makes a whole lot of sense from the practical side. That's where the challenge comes in. Man, what a great defense Jesus gives. And it's all based on, why did he always do things right? Why did he live such a perfect life? Why did he, you know, well, he's God. Oh, okay. He was in direct relationship, constant fellowship with the Father. He's showing us an example of how your life and my life can be more useful in the kingdom.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening today. I know as God's word goes out, it accomplishes the purposes for which he sent it. And I know that sometimes we hear a message like today's message and the Lord really starts to tug on our hearts. And if God's tugging on your heart and you've not been walking with the Lord and you want to get close with the Lord or you want to start a new life with Jesus, it's just a simple prayer away. You know, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, without the Lord, we're already perishing. We're perishing in our sin. We need a Savior. We need help. And, you know, I know you know that. I know you're hearing that. I know you're sensing that. And this is your opportunity to call out to the Lord and ask him to be your personal Lord and Savior. So I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a relationship, getting to know someone by introduction. And so this is an introduction. I want to introduce you to my friend Jesus, and he wants to make himself real to you. He loves you. He loves this world, and he loves you personally. He knows how many hairs you have on your head or how few you have. He knows what color they are. He knows the color of your eyes. He knows how tall you are. He knows everything about you. The Bible says that he loves you with a perfect love. And he wants you to believe on him and have everlasting life that you can spend all eternity with him. If you would, just pray this simple prayer of faith with me. Jesus, I want to open up my heart to you. Lord, I want to have everlasting life. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I humble myself before you, Lord. I know I need you. I know that I've fallen short and sinned in many ways, in many areas of my life. And so I ask that you would just come in and make my life new. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for everlasting life that now is mine in you. I ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might walk with you and have life abundant. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus Christ.